In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, liturgically already, it's Holy Saturday. So, on Holy Saturday, we know that our Lord rested in the tomb. He was crucified on Holy Friday. We've already commemorated all of those events, and we just reread sort of a recapitulation of those events in the Gospel for Vespers. But now the Lord is in the tomb. And our Lord Jesus Christ is not a person that one can be neutral about. If you read the gospel accounts and you see how people reacted to them, they either loved him or they hated him. And in the end, he will be revealed as King of the universe. And all will know. Now, I've probably read 6 times now, altogether, not including reading at home, but the reading just the past couple days in the church, that at the death of Christ, the earthquake occurred, the veil of the temple was rent in two, the sun was darkened, and the people were beating their breasts and turning back, it says. They knew they'd made a serious mistake. It's important that we don't make a serious mistake regarding Jesus Christ. Now, our Lord is resting in the tomb, and he is really, if we think in liturgical time, he's already going down to Hades, breaking the bars of Hades, breaking the hold that death has over us, the hold of sin and death, destroying that hold over us so that we can be with him eternally. That's what the incarnation and everything that followed did. His teaching of his apostles so that they would learn the right way to live. His commissioning them so that the church would have bishops, priests, deacons to guide. His death on the cross, going down into Hades, breaking the bars of death. Then his resurrection, and his ascension and the sending of the Holy Spirit, all of that together in total makes it possible for us to be in his presence. But if you look at the people that were in his presence in this time of his passion, some people reacted to him well and some poorly. I thought I would talk about a few of them. We just heard of Nicodemus. Took the body. Actually, in another evangelist says it even more boldly. Joseph becoming bold. In fact, I will read a sermon where it speaks of Joseph becoming bold many times. Where did this boldness come from? He was a secret disciple of Christ. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. They were bad guys, most of them, because they were career politicians, political religious people. Now, if you mix politics and religion, you get about the worst person possible in the universe. But he was pious, but he was secretive about it because he was afraid. And then the Lord died on the cross. The sun was darkened, and the earth quaked, and the temple veil was rent in two, and he became bold. Every one of us is going to have that kind of moment with Christ where we have to truly believe him or not believe him. Now, we're Orthodox Christians, so we're not going to go running around saying we don't believe in Christ. The way that an Orthodox Christian or someone else who says that they know Christ does not believe in him is basically by living a secular life. Without attention. We must live with attention. Pilate was, of course, a pagan governor. He didn't know hardly anything about Christ. It's clear from his interrogation of Christ that he knew very little about him. But he had an intimate conversation with him. And Pilate, I think, was convinced that he was a king. But he didn't have the courage to deal with the tumult that was happening. So he washed his hands of it. And of course, in doing that, he did exactly what the Sanhedrin wanted him to do, just to be the lackey that executed Christ, since the Jews could not execute a man. And from that day forward, Pilate and Herod were friends. Before, they weren't friends. They were at enmity with one another. So they became friends over the murder of Jesus Christ. Later on, Pilate, he went to Gaul, and he became kind of a forgotten person. He was probably punished by going out to the provinces, and we don't really know much of what happened to him afterwards. And Herod most likely died and went to hell. This Herod, I'm not sure about. His father certainly was tormented before he died. I don't know the history of his son. And we have other people that encountered Christ and truly changed because of it. What about the woman who was a sinner, who Christ had forgiven her sin, and she had changed? She was no longer a prostitute, which is that euphemism for sinners, a euphemism. She was no longer living an unclean life. So she went boldly to a Pharisee's house. This is not exactly during the period of his passion, probably not much before it, but not that week, most likely. And that was a dangerous thing to do, to go into a powerful man's house and to anoint the Lord's feet, pour ointment over his head, because everybody thought she was a sinner. But she saw Christ and she made a decision. We have to do that. Now, Pascha is a time when really it kind of, for me as a pastor, I get confused. I get confused. Because some people I know, some of you I know very well. I know how you live. I know you're struggling. I see you other than on Pascha. And others then I see and I'm confused. I don't know whether or not they have made a decision to order their life according to who Jesus Christ is. I'm not sure that some of them know. They just live day to day. That's not the way a Christian lives. A Christian lives with purpose, with desire, with fire. So we're before the tomb, and there's another aspect of the tomb and our Lord Jesus Christ that always confronts me during this period of time. It's like this weakness that I just confessed that I have, where I get really confused about people. And that is that tombs are places, especially in ancient times, they were places of darkness. They were places where there was no hope. I mean, the Jews went down into Hades and there was no hope for resurrection without a Messiah. So a tomb was a very sad place. And I'm convinced that in our life, I know in my life, of course my life is a little more concentrated than yours, in that I have more encounters with people in spiritual ways. But all of us have these encounters, and all of us, our primary encounter is ourselves with our Lord. There are things in our life and things I see in other people's lives that they're not right. They're just not right. I don't know if they'll become right. There's a very much a piece of me that thinks some of the things I see in myself and in some of you will not become right, either because of our sustained weakness or our laziness or our lack of dedication or our lack of knowledge or some overriding sin that sort of blots out and makes it impossible for us to see the way we should live. And that's like a tomb to me. I've known a lot of people, and I don't know what they're doing now. And that's like a tomb to me. You might know some people. You don't know what they're doing now. Why they're doing what they're doing. Why they're acting crazy. Why they're doing this and doing that. Why they no longer believe. Perhaps you even know it within yourself. You think, why don't I pray very much? Why am I embittered about things? Why don't I control my thoughts? And perhaps those things to you are like a tomb. That is, a place where things are dead. But this is not the right way for Christians to think. I confess to you that I sometimes have these temptations to think this way, but this is not how a Christian thinks. because our Lord appeared to be very dead after he was crucified. And they put him in a tomb, and they rolled a stone in front of it, and there was a guard in front of it. And there was no way that anybody was going to be able to get through that guard, because they were trained, they were elite guards, and there was no way that they were going to see their Lord again. He looked very dead, but he wasn't dead. His body was dead, but only for a season, for a short period of time. But his human soul, as well as him being God, always being alive, was very much alive. And so, unknown to us, unknown to his disciples, because the tomb was closed, the Lord left the tomb in his soul and as God, and went down to Hades and broke the hold that sin has over us. So while they were weeping that the Messiah they thought they had was gone, and they were inconsolable, the Lord was accomplishing their very salvation. But they didn't know it. They didn't see it. It was invisible to them. Is there anything in your life like that? I see a lot of things in my life that I don't see how things are going to get better. And yet there's things in my life that have gotten better, the things in people that I've ministered to that have gotten better. And this is just like as if we were standing before the tomb, or if we were hiding, because of course we wouldn't be before the tomb, because the Roman soldiers would have killed us in thinking our Lord is dead. Well, we know that our Lord is not dead. Well, in the same way, you're not dead, although you do things that are dead. We all do things that are dead because we sin. We have bad priorities. But we are not dead. And this is what the tomb teaches me every single year, especially as a pastor, especially as the years go on. And I see more dead things and also more alive things cumulatively. I see a lot of things that are alive. A lot of changes in people. I just got a letter from one of the guys I baptized in prison. He's getting old now. He's in his 60s. And he's got some physical diseases that are really tough on him. He only weighs 133 pounds now. And I recently saw him. Well, actually, not too recently. In the summer I saw him, because he's unfortunately been shipped to a place that was far away from him. And there's a peace that radiates from him. And I read his letters and I write to him and I see his struggles. Well, he just wrote me a letter recently and added a postscript to it and told me that if it hadn't been for me, my prayers and my help of him, and also Father Duane, someone who had written to him a lot, another priest involved in prison ministries up in Minnesota, I believe, he didn't think he would have made it. So there was this invisible thing happening. And he's now radiant. If you were to visit him, you would be amazed. He's radiant. Well, that's happening to all of us if we allow it to happen. For some of us, it might not happen, because perhaps we just don't really try very hard. And perhaps we don't really take things that seriously. We're Christian, we're Orthodox, but we sort of live life day to day. That's not the way Christians live. Christians live always looking to the tomb and saying, Lord, help me. I know you can help me. I don't know how. I don't know how I'm going to conquer this particular sin, or how I'm going to help this friend of mine that is in a bad way, or how I'm ever going to stop having these thoughts in my head. But it can happen. Because our Lord looked dead in the tomb, but he was very much alive. So that's the major lesson that I get from it. Perhaps this is not very coherent, and I'm sorry if it isn't. But it's from my heart. And for each one of you, you have to encounter Christ. Christianity is not stuff you believe. The devil knows more than you do about Jesus Christ. Christianity is encountering Jesus Christ. And when you encounter someone that you love, you change, you emulate them, and you become like them, and you serve them. even in a secular sense, if you really respect someone, then you take on their attributes and you look to them for advice and help. It's the same way, except now we're dealing with God. Each one of you has to encounter Christ. Not just say your prayers, not just read the Bible, not just fast. All those things are critical. I don't see really how you can encounter Christ without struggling to do those things. But the most critical thing is to recognize who you are and who Christ is. And encounter Him and want to be better than you are. Want to get rid of the dead that's in you, the dark that's in you, the cold that's in you. And Jesus Christ can do that. He's proven that He can. So this is what we should think of, not necessarily in so many words per se, but or so many thoughts, but your feeling as a Christian is that God will help you to do everything and that He is everything. And there is nothing else outside of God. Nothing else outside of our Savior. Nothing else that's important or that matters. After the Lord was risen from the tomb, can you imagine in your mind's eye the joy? The joy was so intense that at first some of them couldn't even believe, but eventually they did. And they had great joy. And the impossible they saw was possible. And so it is with you and I. There's impossible things in our life. Impossible things in our loved ones' lives. But God can make everything possible. That's what the tomb teaches me. I hope it teaches you something like that as well.